BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Wednesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. On today's show, early morning cheese club. It's allowed because it's Christmas. Also, more real or no real. How much cash do those really famous Christmas songs make every single year? We find out. Didn't Chris do well on Celebrity Mastermind last night? And it wouldn't be Christmas without the Spice Girls in Spanish.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
The Radio 1 Breakfast Show
with Scott Mills.
Oh, good morning. Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
You okay?
Yeah.
I think I would pay a small amount of money, and only a small amount, to have Stefan Powell just near my left ear all day going, "Drones." So good. Drones.
I mean, he will roll any R for you, won't he?
Give him an R and he'll roll it. Love you, Stefan. Thank you very much, Adele. I walked into Radio 1 this morning and I heard a lady on the radio going, "Dong! Dong!" What's that about?
It was more confusing than it sounds.
Right. The first thing I heard on Radio 1 this morning.
I heard the same thing. I was walking into the building and I heard, and it wasn't Adele. I think it was producer Amy shouting, "I want a dong!"
Right, why is that?
Really loud.
Is something to do with Big Ben or something?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, or New Year. Okay. Maybe we should ask. We'll pop next door.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So, Grimmy's off this week. It's Scott and Chris on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Went to bed rubbishly early last night.
I kind of did the same.
Yeah, and literally just got to sleep and my phone went. And it was one of my mates going, "Yes, to late night Christmas shopping." Like, it was only like 10 o'clock, but they'd obviously been taking advantage of the shops opening late.
How late do they stay open then?
Maybe a few mulled wines. Right, I don't know whether this is true, but I've heard that there are some shops that are like, not 24 hours, is it?
Well, yeah, the massive Wesco's in Watford is a 24-hour one.
Yeah, but they're always on. I'm sure, unless I've made this up, that there are some shops somewhere in the UK, maybe this week, that are like going straight through. Let me know if you know what I'm talking about.
Why would you do that? Why would you need to be in a shop at 2 a.m?
Because to avoid the crowds. I'm sure there are some shops. I don't know whether it's London or Manchester or Glasgow, but one of those.
Right.
Like, the whole shopping centre is open in 24 hours. Right, this morning, we are going to do Cheese Club, and there's some people already keen. Like Sam Passmore on Twitter, who says, "I'm ready with a 1 kg wheel of camembert." I mean, he's talking serious. And Sarah on Twitter already sat there. She sent me a photo with a classic Wensleydale and cranberry combo. Because Christmas, 4 days away, we're getting right into the cheese this week. If you want to be part of our early morning cheese club, grab your cheese and text me 81199.
The Scott Mills Daily.
The producer on the show that hates the cheese, Scott, has just arrived, walked through the door and has had to leave again. It's causing him real nightmares.
He's got real sad face. He's like, "Oh, I think he's actually scared of it." Look, don't walk away, come back.
Cheese fear.
Look, actual cheese fear. Are you scared of it? Oh, he's scared.
I've not seen anyone who dislikes cheese so much.
No, but this is like a. I don't think it's just the smell. I think it's the whole thing about it. Like the whole thing. Mm. Like my friend Danny that used to be scared of peas.
Peas?
Yeah. So, like, if you were eating peas in the vicinity of him, just had to go. Mm. Same kind of thing.
But poor guy, the cheese thing.
He thought that peas were out to get him.
But he's turning up every day going, "Oh, I love working at Radio 1, but I hate cheese. Yeah. It's a real problem."
And then just spends the rest of the day with a jumper over his face. Because it does linger a little bit. Let us know if you're getting involved with the cheese early morning. 81199.
The Scott Mills Daily.
If you look at my Twitter right now, my personal one, there's the most 2001 photo you have ever seen in your life of me with Destiny's Child.
Beyonce looks mad in this. It's just not how you normally see her.
Well, it's before she was Beyonce. I mean, obviously, she was Beyonce. It's before everyone knew she was going to be Beyonce. Lovely cropped jacket there. And also my dirty denim jeans. Oh! From 2001. And my frosted tips in my hair. Lush. Early Ready One Days. Lol. Okay, should we do Cheese Club?
Yes, please.
Right. Loads of people on this week going, right, how early is early to crack in with the cheese? I'm saying now because it's Christmas. You've got 4 days. Go for it. Good morning, Stevie.
Good morning, Scott.
Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Glasgow, currently driving to St Andrews for work.
Okay, but you've pulled over, and what cheese are you going for today?
I've got a cheeky little baby bear at the ready. I don't know why I'm jamming bear, but it's the best I can do in the car.
You prepared, didn't you?
I did indeed.
You heard what we were saying yesterday, and you prepared.
It's one of those little ones, right? Not one of those European massive ones.
No, it's one of the little ones, I'm afraid.
Yeah. We're pulling crackers with all the listeners this week. Would you like to pull one with me?
I certainly would, yes.
Okay, go on then, pull hard. Oh, well, well done, straight away. That was quite satisfying, that one, wasn't it? There's your hat. Right.
Sort of cheese and crackers thing going on here.
You've got a yo-yo. Is there any joke?
I can move the yo-yo out the window.
Right. These ones don't have jokes.
No joke.
Oh, hang on, it's in the hat. There you go. Why did the tomato blush? Oh, it's just the oldest one ever.
I don't know. Why did he blush?
Because it saw the salad dressing.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay.
Eat your baby bow now. Adam in Telford says, I'm in Cheese Club, 1 kg of grated cheddar cheese because of work. Oh, grated? That's going to be a mess. What? Also, Paul from Ely has got some camembert on the go.
Seb from Bristol cracking onto the blue vein.
Let's play some cheese while we eat the cheese. Here we go. What have we got today?
We've gone big.
We've got fondue. Come on.
Yes.
Hello to the person. This is Mike having a wonderful herbed double Gloucester.
Oh.
He's going to save it for Christmas Day, but he's in on the Cheese Club. Dan off of Shrewsbury's just eating a Dairy Lee. Yeah, I'll let you have that one. Doesn't really count.
Aaron with his stinking bishop. Enjoying it with crackers. Yeah. Clearly prepared for this time in the morning.
Jess in Manchester's on all the cheese already. She's cheese ODing.
Fondue.
John in Derby. Andy Frost says, the idea of eating cheese at this time of the morning makes my stomach churn, but I'm going for it anyway. That's right. It's just a standard cheddar for him, really. Oh, that fondue is something else, isn't it?
Lovely stuff.
We almost lost a staff member when they put it in the microwave just now. But potential death trap.
I love Cheese Club. Mm.
5 to 7 in the morning, never too early for cheese, it's Christmas.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Slightly obsessed this morning that Paris Hilton, who, has a new range of clothes at the supermarket that rhymes with Whittle.
How's that come about? What clothes are we talking here?
It's
like everyday
dresses.
Living,
yeah,
sort of thing.
That's happening at that supermarket. BBC Radio 1. Right, Riddle No Riddle, it's 7:16. Good morning, Esme.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm okay at the moment. I'm on vocal rest because I'm in a show, so I'm feeling a bit groggy.
You're on vocal rest?
Yeah.
What show are you in?
I'm in this opera show at the City Lit. It's like a selection of opera scenes in London, so that's tonight.
We've actually spoken to you before on our afternoon show, right?
Yeah.
And I did ask you to sing, but that's definitely off limits now, isn't it?
Oh, I definitely can't. My teacher will kill me.
So you're not going to sing now?
I literally can't.
Have you got a big badge on saying, shh, I'm on vocal rest? Because I've seen singers have that before.
No, you're kidding. That's a bit much. But my mum just doesn't get it. So I'm wandering around the house and she's like, oh, can I peel these potatoes for me? And that is kind of thing. And I'm like, Mum, I can't. I need to sit down and be by myself. But she doesn't get it because she's
But you can't potatoes got to do with anything?
You can't peel potatoes because you're on voice rest.
Oh, it's a very social activity in my house. So it involves a lot of chatting.
Right. So are you just getting out of any boring Christmas jobs by saying, I've got to rest my vocals?
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
Well, good luck with the show.
Thank you.
Chris, do you want to do the Christmas honours?
Oh, yeah. Esme, do you want to pull a cracker?
Of course.
We'll do this now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, Paul.
Paul.
Hey!
Oh, the satisfying snap. When I pull it, every time I do it, I can't do it, so it doesn't go bang.
Okay,
hang
on.
The smell of it, isn't it?
Hang on. All right, do you want to know what your toy is?
Yeah.
You've got a small fighter plane that you've got to build yourself.
That's quite good.
She can't do that. She's on vocal rest.
You're on vocal rest, though. Would you like your joke?
Yeah. My dad collects Christmas cracker jokes.
What?
Because he just thinks they're just brilliantly bad. So we collect them. We've got a little box of all these Christmas cracker jokes and then we're home.
What, from over the years?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you can call me back at some point with some of his favourites we could do with them. These ones are bad. Okay, go on.
Ready for your joke. What do you call a man with a spade on his head?
I know.
I don't know.
This is the oldest one ever.
Go on then.
Doug.
Doug.
We love it.
So good.
Do you want that one for your box?
Yeah, I'll write that down. I'll give it to him.
All right, here's today's Real or No Real, Esme.
A helpline will be open over the festive period to help with conversation starters. You'll be able to text or call the number for engaging topics.
Oh, well, I reckon that's definitely real. Because people have loads of anxiety about going to Christmas and having to interact with all different people at office parties and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I reckon that's definitely
sometimes
true.
I do actually have a list in my head of topic starters.
You actually?
Yeah.
That like one, what? In ranked in order?
No, not necessarily. It's just they're in there in case I get stuck.
When you have a meeting with the boss, don't you? You write talking points on the back of your hand.
Don't say that on the radio.
I'm only joking. He does, though.
Only a bit.
It's a really good idea, this, but if you're having a conversation with someone and you're not sure what to say, how are you meant to go away and make a call to the helpline?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You can text as well.
So. Oh, right,
well,
okay.
That's just rude. That's just not good either.
Well, I'm thinking an app would be a great idea and it just throws talking points up.
Yeah.
But does this helpline exist over the festive period to help with conversation starters for maybe that relative you've not seen for a while or a friend you've not seen for a bit? Esme, real or no real?
I'm saying real.
Chris?
I think if they do text, that's actually quite a good idea, so I'm going to go real.
That one is no real.
Mm. Although Monopoly have launched a helpline between the 24th and 26th, which it says will bring an end to all family rows over who can collect £200. So the hotline's open from the 24th and families will be able to get mediation on any game-based arguments. That's good, isn't it?
No, that is... I need to get that number because we get into vicious fights.
Exactly. And they'll just sort it out for you. They'll be like, well, you're right and you're wrong.
Yeah, that's a good idea because there's so many rules in Monopoly as well that you don't really know about.
Esme, I'm enjoying this with you. Are you right to wait right there?
Yeah.
All right, we'll play again in a minute. Scott Mills Daily. Oh, well done to you there. My boss has just been on now going, I'll be checking your hand next time we meet. I don't, honestly, Ben, I don't write thought starters on on my hand.
He does.
All right, do your impression of Ben then, go on.
Don't play this.
Right, it's the same game.
All right,
isn't it?
Fine. Truce.
You don't really do an impression of Ben. But if you say to someone, I tried this at work today, go on, do your impression of so-and-so. And then immediately they get paranoid and go, well, what's the impression? And obviously you don't really do an impression, but it lands you right in it. And that's what you've just done to me. Go on, do your impression of Ben. Come on. Go on, do it.
Don't.
That one that you do.
No. I'm just going to be quiet now. Right, well, why don't you do your impression of Ben?
No, you do. No,
you
the
do
one
yours
that you
first.
Do, you see? Yeah. Two can play that game.
No.
7:25. Esme's here playing real or no real. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here's another fact for you.
The World Wide Web weighs the same as a medium-sized egg.
That's making my head fizz a bit.
They
the whole World Wide Web. And there's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there, Scott?
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, you can now type in anything into the website that runs with Google and there'll be something on that subject. It's all out there now.
That's not weight, though. That's not like a real... That's not reality.
Surely it doesn't weigh anything. It's
no,
just stuff.
It would be like the electrons, the weight of the... It will be a weight of the electric in it, of all the impulses.
I seem to remember someone told me once that when your phone is loaded up with music...
I know what you're going to say. This is ridiculous.
With loads of numbers
it's
and
not
stuff
heavier.
Like that.
Your phone
that
isn't heavier.
It is ever so slightly heavier...
Not true.
...than a phone
no.
that what, doesn't so, have any stuff. So and it was an interesting one, that, because I was thinking to myself
no,
not that long
true.
Ago, I was like... Do you know, my phone is feeling a tiny bit heavier.
It must be all that new music I put on it.
And there's some heavy tunes out at the moment.
Some heavy beats.
Now, anyway, I seem to remember you completely ripping me for this.
Yes, and I am again.
And then we got a boffin on who was basically, who was saying that it's actually true, that your phone will be ever so slightly heavier, but like... ever so slightly, and I still can't understand the reasoning. So if someone knows the answer to that, they need to let us know right away. But I'm thinking the World Wide Web, based on that, if my phone is ever so slightly heavier, with the whole of the World Wide Web and all the information and however it works with my phone, let's say, does weigh a very tiny amount for the whole of the World Wide Web. Because, Scott, you can find anything on there now.
I know, yeah. I'm,
do you know what I mean?
No, but it's not a real thing. The World Wide Web is not a room with, like,
stuff in it.
I know, like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying...
I'm saying it's an egg.
Oh, this is mad.
I hate science. Hate science.
I'm definitely saying, no real to this.
Right. Why?
Because it's not thing, Chris.
Right. So the internet doesn't weigh the same as a medium-sized egg?
No.
But I've just told you about my phone story. All right, fine. Well, I'm going to go real on this one.
Esme?
Yeah, I'm going no real.
That one's real.
Yes!
Oh, my God! I'm so interested to see why.
So using Einstein's E equals MC squared formula, which states that energy and mass are directly related, a computer scientist at the University of California calculated that filling a 4 gigabyte Kindle to its storage limit would increase its weight by a billionth of a billionth of a gram. With this in mind, the entire internet would be about 50 grams.
How mad is that?
That's mad.
Oh, that's really cool. I feel like that's a Christmas act. Like, I'm going to say that at the Christmas table and people are going to be very impressed.
At the end of that round of Real or No Real?
Esme, I'm sorry to say you didn't perform very well in this game.
No, I'm not on top form today.
You got nothing. And I got 10.
I reckon it's the voice rest thing, though, hon.
It is.
It's affecting everything.
Yeah.
Well, listen, good luck with the show.
Thank you.
I'm really good to speak to you. Thanks for being on today's Real or No Real. Have a lush Christmas. Love you, bye.
Bye-bye. The Scott Mills
Daily. Sinead, what's going on then?
Okay, so we're looking back at the most watched programmes of 2016 so far, and it is an incredible record for one show. I mean, it's quite obvious. Can you guess?
Bake Off.
Yes. So in the top 10, they take 9 of the spots, with the final being number 1. The only other show to make an entry is Planet Earth 2. That was the second episode. I don't know if you've watched it, the one with the snow leopards and the face-planting bobcat.
Yeah.
What are we talking then, like 13, 14 million?
So for the final of Bake Off, 15.9 million, which is huge. And in at 10, Bake Off as well, and that was 13.12. So, like, they have absolutely dominated it. And then also, even in, like, the second half, like, number 11 is the 10th episode of Bake Off. And then you've got shows like Britain's Got Talent, A Bit of I'm a Celebrity, Strictly Come Dancing, Sherlock makes an appearance, and also some of the football. But, like, for Bake Off, that's just absolutely insane.
So let's take it off.
Yeah, let's put it, yeah.
Yeah, the alternative commentary from the Euros, actually. That's probably on the list somewhere quite high.
Yeah. Further down, yeah. What, the red button coverage?
Just outside top 10 there.
Yeah.
Stuff that we did over, we'll look for it later, yeah. It must be in there somewhere. Yeah.
Sue Perkins has been chatting to the BBC about the decision not to move with the show to Channel 4. And seemingly, she says they didn't have to think twice.
We made the decision that felt right for us. And it was made in a heartbeat, really. For us, the show was best at its original home, and we made no secret the fact that's where we wanted it to stay. And whilst I respect that it's moved on, it was easy for us to say okay.
And fear not, though, there is one final dose from Mel, Sue and Mary Berry, as there are 2 Christmas specials on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. But interesting enough, these were filmed before the announcement that it was moving to Channel 4.
Oh, that announcement was ages ago. When were the Christmas ones done? June?
Well, they have to be done in that tent, so they have to, like, be, you know, it has to be in the summer, otherwise they'll have, like, torrential downpours and the tent might come down.
But I don't like watching it when they don't know. Because it's like, you know something that they don't all know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
It makes it awkward to watch.
When you watch it at Christmas, it'll be like, oh, this show's going to go on forever. But we all know the truth.
Well Sue says they look back on it and they enjoyed filming it before now.
As far as I was concerned, we'd be carrying on. But that's nice, though, in a way, to you know, it wasn't filmed in a wistful way. It's filmed as business as usual. So, no, there was no sense of what was to come when we were doing it.
And apparently there is quite a bit of controversy controversy in these Christmas specials, with one contestant accusing another of cheating. So I think it's definitely one to watch, the swan song for the Bake Off on the BBC. So that is Christmas Day, and then the second episode on Boxing Day. Now, Liam Payne has registered a new solo track. So there's a screen grab that's doing the rounds of the registration with BMI, who are the International Music Rights Organisation, who you have to register your music with. And it shows that Liam's working with three songwriters, all who've been Grammy nominated. So one called Emily Warren, she's worked with the likes of 5 Seconds of Summer, Shawn Mendes, Scott Harris, who's also worked with Shawn Mendes, and a guy called Nick Monson, who's worked with Lady Gaga and Selena Gomez. So that's quite a massive, collection of songwriters. And the track is called Myself.
Okay. Myself, that's what it's called. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Sinead's got more for us later. Thank you. 7:46 on Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, team. How's it going?
Good. How you doing? How can I help?
I'm good. I seen a Mastermind last night.
Ah, Celebrity Mastermind.
Yeah. I don't know. He done all right.
He did all right, didn't he, Chris?
Yeah, I was on Mastermind. I mean, one of the highlights of my life.
It looked nerve-wracking.
It was. It's so intense. Like a 90 seconds full of intensity there.
I kind of put myself in your position last night, and I thought it must be stressful. Must be questions you'd normally answer, you'd forget. Yeah. But you done all right. Second place is... It's only the first loser.
You've given,
Well, I was going to do like a plot spoiler alarm because, I mean, do people catch up on Celebrity Mastermind the same way they do like The Apprentice or
I don't know,
or Strictly Come Dancing?
There'll be one or two.
Here's a plot spoiler anyway. Just wanted to let you know there, little plot spoiler alarm. We are about to reveal the winner of last night's Celebrity Mastermind. So if you don't want to know, turn away from the radio now.
I actually don't know the name of the winner. Right.
Neither do I.
It wasn't Chris.
I didn't win. But,
You were second.
I think people were surprised, generally, how well I did.
Yeah, I was.
Especially on the general knowledge.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were really good.
But absolutely incredible scenes as they let me do you as my specialist topic.
It was great. So last night, Chris chose me as the topic on Celebrity Mastermind. Listen to how he introduces it.
And our next contender, please. And your name is?
My name's Chris Stark.
Chosen subject?
The great man, Scott Mills.
A great man, Scott Mills.
Why did you say the great man?
I just meant to say Scott Mills. Funny thing is, I saw this producer shaking her head when I added the extra bit. They made me redo it, but I did the same thing.
Right. So you got this random question right about me.
Which city did Mills move to in order to work for the radio station GWR after he left Ocean FM?
Bristol.
Yep.
Yeah, straight in with Bristol there. But you didn't know this one.
What was the name of Mills' professional dance partner on the 2014 series of Strictly Come Dancing, with whom he danced the samba while he was dressed as a crab?
Karen Clifton.
Joanne Clifton.
Clifton.
Do you know what? And considering I lost by like two overall, I'm so gutted with one side because I know Joanne.
I know you know her from my time on the show, and she just won Strictly last weekend.
Mate, you're in the chair. There's light on you. He's in front of you asking questions. It's all very intense.
Also, cheers to the Mastermind team for bringing this back up again.
In his autobiography, Mills says he was nearly fired from his early morning Radio 1 show because he went on air drunk after a night out at which award ceremony?
The Brits.
I was cooking my tea at the time and going, thanks very much, the TV. Cheers, thanks a lot.
Don't you love that that's a serious question?
Thanks for bringing it up again. We thought we buried that.
But the way he says it and everything, it sounds like news.
In his autobiography, Mills says he was nearly fired from his early morning Radio 1 show.
Thank you. I love that you know this as well.
On which long-running BBC show did Mills make his debut as a television presenter in 1999? He believes he had the right look for it because he had awful spiky hair.
Top of the Pops.
He is correct.
Correct. You did so well. I'm so
Cheers,
proud of
mate.
You. Really good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
This is BBC Radio 1.
Good morning, Ollie.
How are we doing?
We are doing fine. Right, so what do you do? You're 19, you're from Kings Lynn. What do you do?
I'm a plumber. Plumbing and heating engineer, mate.
Okay, cool. Busy today?
You know what it's like. Before Christmas, everyone's trying to rush and get everything done, so we're going in between.
And then when are you going to be done for Christmas?
I finish sort of Thursday night, and then that'll be my work due on Friday.
Nice.
Work due on Friday, is it?
Yeah, work due on Friday, so I might be a little bit worse to wear Christmas Eve, but hey-ho, all for the cause.
Just don't do it on Christmas Day, because your mum will hate you.
Well, yeah, but you've got to go to the pub on Christmas Eve, it's the law.
Oh, it's such a dangerous game.
Dangerous. Just give yourself a limit, time limit.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, as long as I'm home by 10, I'll be all right.
Yeah, that's good. Good advice. Okay, right, do you want to pull a crack with me, because we're doing it with all our listeners?
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Right, pull hard.
All right, I'm pulling.
A bit harder.
I'm pulling.
Oh, you got it again.
Buzzing.
Red hat.
Oh, even better.
And there'll be a joke in here somewhere. Surely they've all got jokes in. Why am I so bad at finding them?
Come on.
What is this? What? Oh. What is this?
Oh, I know what that is. That's the fortune-telling fish.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I love
yeah,
them things.
The flappy sort of paper fish.
Oh,
yeah.
It is, yeah. Fortune-telling fish.
Yeah. Oh, you've struck gold there, mate.
Also, they're, joke.
They are absolutely brilliant, they are.
What do you get if you cross a fish and two elephants?
No idea.
Swimming trunks.
Oh, God. Right. That wasn't the best.
What's your favourite Christmas song ever?
I'm going to have to say Fairy Tale in New York.
It yeah. is a good one, right?
Agreed.
That is a banger, as you would say.
Right, so this is our little game that we're going to play. How much of Christmas songs made? Because I am intrigued by how much these songs make every year. Now, there's yep. plenty of reports that Honey G off X Factor is going to rake in all the monies with her own Christmas song. But is that going to stand the time as one of the Christmas greats? A classic Christmas song which, for years after she's gone, will still make all the cash?
I hope not.
Because it's all the old ones that seem to stick that we still play. Like, loads of new ones have been made, but they're not the ones that seem to get played the most, are they? It's all the ones from, like, the 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah, but then in 20 years' time, will those be the new classics?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right, so I'll start you off with this one. Everyone right. knows this track. It's probably the most famous Christmas song of all time ever. Right, so how much does Mariah Carey make every year in royalties for her Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas Is You? Chris, I'll start with your guess, please.
Okay.
Every year.
Every year. I'm going to go £100,000.
£100,000 for doing absolutely nothing for a song she recorded once yeah. in the early 90s.
One that everyone's bought, I'm going to go £100,000, yeah.
She just sits there raking in the cash, the money just appears in the account, she's done absolutely nothing for it. All I want for Christmas. Only recorded it once. Ollie, what's your guess? How much does Mariah make every year from that?
I'm going to go £1 million.
£1 million?
Yeah, I'm pushing it out. Well, that's played absolutely everywhere, isn't it? No matter where you go, you hear it, don't you?
Okay. So Chris says 100,000. Ollie says £1 million.
Mm. It was in Love Actually as well, wasn't it?
It was.
So, yeah. That will help.
Right, okay.
£1 million.
So Mariah Carey gets £376,000 a year in royalties
Whoa.
For her Christmas song. Now, let's use Ollie's guess as £1 million and we'll play higher or lower. So that one was lower. Lower than £1 million, £376,000. What about this next one? Didn't even make it to Christmas number one back in 1984. Wham's Last Christmas. Higher or lower than Mariah's £376,000 per year?
What do we reckon, Ollie?
I'm going to have to say lower with that one, I think. I'm definitely going lower.
Lower than me? Yeah, I do think that Mariah won's everywhere, so I'm going to agree.
So you're saying...
I reckon we go lower.
And Ollie, you're saying lower too, right?
Yeah, I'm going lower, 100%.
No, I'm afraid it's higher.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That earns £400,000 a year.
Really?
So higher than Mariah Carey. I don't know. So, next one. What about this track? E17. Stay Another Day. Not even really a Christmas song. Only really known in the UK. Not like Mariah, which is like a worldwide one. So is this higher or lower than Wham, which earned £400,000 this year?
I can't believe that Wham one earned so much. I reckon lower on this one, Ollie.
That's got to be lower, surely. For E7, come on.
You're correct, go lower.
Yay!
That brings in, for the writers, a measly £97,000 a year.
Oh, guys, we've got to get a Christmas song on the go.
97 grand for E17.
And they just sat at home rubbing their hands together.
Yeah. Okay, what about this one? Merry Christmas. Slade, Merry Christmas, everybody. Higher or lower than the measly 97 grand that E17 bring in for Stay Another Day every year?
To be fair, this is a massive, massive song. Everyone seems to know this one. We've got to go higher on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Definitely. Surely that one's higher. You think that's everywhere as well.
So Slade is higher in earnings than E17, right?
I would have thought so.
Correct, boys.
Yay.
Yes.
Yes. Slave's Festive Attempt has been labelled the most heard song in the world and will bring in, bearing in mind it was made in 1973, this year, in 2016, will bring in £500,000 a year. It's a Merry Christmas for them.
That is crazy.
I know. But what about this one? This is a song from 1942. Bing Crosby, White Christmas. Higher or lower than Slade's 500 grand, I'm talking about in earnings this year.
May your day.
It's a banger, but I don't know. You don't hear it as much.
That one's not a banger.
Come on.
Higher or lower? 500 grand for Slade is this Bing Crosby song in earnings this year. Higher or lower than that?
I'm 100% going lower. I think this is a bit of a mess.
But do you think this will be the lowest of them all?
You can't call White Christmas a mess.
Yeah, well, I think it is. Come on. That's no fairy tale in New York, is it?
To be fair, if someone put this out now, you would think what's going on here.
It's great. I mean, it's old.
Sounds like it's been slowed down.
It's from the 40s. Everything was slower and everything was in black and white.
I reckon you need someone to put a massive donk on it.
All right. So, White Christmas, Bing Crosby, higher or lower than 500 grand for Slade?
It's got to be lower.
It's got to be lower, 100%.
You are correct. Only £328,000 for that one this year.
That's more than what I thought it would be.
That's more than E17.
Yes.
Wow.
Do you know how much that song's made in total?
Go on.
Bearing in mind it was 1942. A grand total of £22 million.
Whoa, that's nuts.
Bing recorded the song in just 18 minutes. So I'm not good at maths, but do that maths there. 18 minutes work, £22 million, 328 grand this year. And, do you know what? That song was released in 1942 in July.
What?
White Christmas was released in July 1942. That's because, along with everything being black and white and everything being slower, even the charts were slower. So it would take that long to climb the charts. So by December, it would be number
amazing,
one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I
mean, fact of the day.
Yeah.
Ollie, thanks for playing our game.
Merry Christmas.
Lovely, thank you very much.
Love you, bye. Daily. This Christmas Eve, as you're trying to find like a table decoration that will really impress your mum on Christmas Day, or maybe getting all those spare chairs out of the attic that don't match just because there's more people than normal coming around, I urge you to look at Kris Jenner's house on the internet. Christmas goals right there.
How's it looking?
Oh my word. It's insane. There are trees, I don't know, they're like 30 feet trees or something.
Whoa.
It's ridiculous. So much money being spent. This is Radio 1. It's 8:41.
BBC Radio 1.
All right, Sinead, what's the latest?
Well, look, the entertainment news kicks off in the new year with Celebrity Big Brother, and the first contestant has been teased. So they've released this really short video, and it's just a generic silhouette, and the voice has been changed. This is what they have to say.
Free electricity, free pool, free food, I'm in. I mean, a fat girl loves to go to a restaurant and look at deep fried chicken wings, so why can't I go into the house and look at showering men? I'd have to bring the drama, I'd have to give the drama, I'd have to take the drama, and it's going to be crazy.
There you go.
It's like the voice from that Zara Larsson song.
Under your sex body.
There's plenty of suggestions as to who it can be. So this time it's going to be all stars versus new stars. So there's celebrities who've never been in it before taking on a challenge against celebrities who have been in it from the past. So Brian Bellow, who won it previously and then went in as a celebrity.
He's a friend of mine, but that... but that
he's
is...
He's a friend of mine.
But that clang... But
not
that voice, the voice changer makes it sound like Brian Bellew, rather than it sounding like someone rather than Brian Bellew's voice has been changed.
But the voice said, why can't I go into the house and look at showering men?
Yeah.
Which, unless Brian's changed things, suggests that's not him.
So some people saying Geordie Shore's Chloe Ferry. The names, because she brings the drama in Geordie Shore. But names that have been suggested quite a lot over the last couple of weeks as to who's going in. Malika, who you might know is best friends with Khloe Kardashian.
No.
Is that bringing an American in? I can't say it.
Bratavio.
Yes,
amazing. Yes.
Bellario. Yes.
Karthik from The Apprentice.
Great shout.
Bianca Gascoigne. Sam from Made in Chelsea. Katie Hopkins has been suggested. I don't know if she will, though.
Right, so there's so many people now from Geordie Shore and X on the Beach that if you... Sinead, if you come in tomorrow and make one up, I'll be like, okay, cool. And also rumoured to be going in is Sally Sausage from Geordie Shore. I'll be like, okay, cool.
It's a busy beach now, isn't it?
Really busy beach.
So that little clip doesn't really give you any ideas as to who it is, really, does it?
No.
Just that they want to bring the drama and they're going to be crazy.
Watch Men in the Showers.
Yeah. But sticking with Geordie Shore, because one of the original cast members has announced she's leaving last night. Holly Hagen.
I know her.
Yeah. Mm. So she put a lengthy post on social media. Considering I thought I was going to get drunk for 6 weeks, which was just the first series, and thought I'd be going back to the call centre, this has changed my life and I'll forever be grateful. She'd be considering leaving for a long time and it wasn't a split second decision. As it may have appeared on TV. And she says she's not had one single regret, but she's going to miss everyone in the family, my brothers and sisters forever. So that's quite a few of the core members of Geordie Shore that have left now.
It's a bit weird to describe the other cast members as brothers and sisters when, you know,
things happen.
I've seen the hot tub.
Do you know what I mean?
But it'll be interesting to see like how much life it's got left in it now. Like, you know, the big characters like Charlotte Crosby's left, Vicky Patterson, and now Holly... So, I don't know.
Will the show survive? Because they'll get Sally Sausage from X on the Beach to go in.
And finally, if you want some festive joy this morning, then you need to check out these pictures of Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom dressed as Mr. and Mrs. Claus as they went on a visit to a children's hospital in LA.
Oh, my God, this is so cute.
To see all these poor little sick kids. They look amazing, though. The hospital posted lots of pictures on their Facebook page saying, spreading holiday cheer, Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom dressed up as Santa and Mrs. Claus for a Christmas visit to the Children's Hospital at Los Angeles this week.
So nice. Yeah, that's really cool.
They sang carols, took pictures and handed out presents. So, yeah. And I think we've tweeted a picture now from R1 Breakfast.
Yes.
Have a look.
At R1 Breakfast, if you want to see this, it's a cute picture. Thanks, Sinead.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
You know you keep hearing the same Christmas songs everywhere at the moment.
Yeah.
And at first it's really nice, and then sometimes it can get a little bit long hearing the same thing over and over again. So I've been hearing Two Become One by the Spice Girls quite a lot about the place. Good song, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I discovered a version of it in Spanish. And for me, it's a game changer. I think it's better.
Now, I remember you texting me the other day going, found this Spanish version of Two Become One. It can't be the actual Spice Girls. Yeah, because loads and loads of artists record their songs in different languages.
I didn't know this happens. I didn't know that you record a song, it does really well, but also the same artists having to speak other languages.
If you think, like, Spanish is a huge language, like one of the most spoken languages in the world, right? So it makes sense to do that because you're going to get a whole new audience. So Ariana Grande records loads in French, loads in Spanish. Charlie XCX records loads in Japanese.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
I need to hear some of this.
Yeah.
But the Spanish one blows my mind just because I don't imagine the Spice Girls know much Spanish.
You don't need to. You get a Spanish in and they teach you how to sing it.
Just literally the song with the accent. And But this won't sound like broken English, will it? This won't sound like... Do you remember when Steve McLaren did that press conference in Holland? It was...
No, because what they do is they actually do get a Spanish person in there and they will work and work until it sounds correct.
So a Spanish listener right now would hear this Spanish version of Two Become One and it will sound exactly the same, just as good, just flowing exactly the same way as before.
It's like one of my friends is from Croydon and is a jingle singer and sings loads of Spanish jingles for radio stations in Spain.
Really?
Doesn't speak a word of it. Don't need to.
Also, the other thing with this version, I think it makes it classier.
So what I'm going to do is play the original version, English version by Spice Girls, the one we all know and love, and then I'm going to drop in the Spanish halfway through.
Oh, nice.
See if you like it. See if you think it's better or worse than the original.
Candlelight and soul forever, a dream of you and me.
Ready for the Spanish? Okay, here we go. Why is that still on? Aaron in Ipswich says, I speak Spanish. The words are slightly different in Spanish, but they need to be to rhyme. Mm. Well, what are they singing in the Spanish one?
Big shout out to all the Spice Girls nerds that are on. And like Dan, for example, the ginger version, not the posh version, that one. Apparently there's a ginger spice version and a posh spice version of that song.
That's because Jerry Halliwell is fluent in Spanish.
Wow.
I've learned so much just from playing that song this morning. The Scott Mills Daily. Today's going to be good because we are having a mass game of innuendo bingo on our Million Hours finale on Greg's show this afternoon from 4 o'clock. So like all the daytime Radio 1 DJs are going to be playing innuendo bingo with mulled wine.
Mm. From what I understand, it's me on one side, everyone on the other side.
What, everyone?
Yeah, apparently so.
Listen, from 3 p.m. today, we're going to have a massive game, a Christmas game of innuendo bingo, and instead of water, it's the mulled wine today.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
It's our big Million Hours show. Listen from 3. Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
Where are you?
I'm in Somerset.
Okay, what do you do?
I'm a van driver and delivering food to pubs and cafes and restaurants.
Right, this must be like your busiest time.
Yeah, really busy working up to Christmas Eve and then back in on the Wednesday. So yeah, it's quite mad at the moment.
Always a grafter.
Mm. And then plans for Christmas? You're just going to chill, eat all the food?
No, I've got a, it's my first year with my 10-month-old daughter, so it's going to be quite a special Christmas.
Oh, that's so amazing. Cute.
All right, listen, you know about bangers, right?
Yeah.
Where will you be on Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve? In my van driving, unfortunately.
That's perfect. Right. So between 1 and 7 on Christmas Eve, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m, we've got a massive bangers show, and it's literally bangers all the way for 6 hours. There's different themed hours. So we've got like Battle of the Pop Stars. We've got an hour called The Ones That Got Away, which are ones that never quite got picked on bangers, but still amazing songs. We've got a number ones hour. We've got a continuous mix hour. And so you'll be there, right? Our Christmas Eve bangers show, Christmas Eve 1 till 7, yeah?
All the way through.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be awesome. Without sounding like trumpets, but it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Okay, so here's my banger for you today. Do you remember when we all loved Jessie J? This is her best one by far.
Yeah.
You kind of got to remember how much you liked her then. Do you know what I mean? Be in that mind frame.
Okay.
No, it's a great tune.
Sass.
That's not really, is it? It's just, you forget sometimes. She had tunes.
She was a big deal. Jessie J and Domino is my one.
And I've got a very different choice for you today. It's this. It's one of my favourite songs, My Chemical Romance, Famous Last Words. It's a good one. Two very different bangers for you to choose from today, Tom.
Yeah, definitely.
Very different.
Mm.
Okay.
Hard choice, but I have made a decision.
Oh, wow, that was quick.
Straight in.
Before you make your choice, Jessie J just wants to sing a few words. I think that's when the tide began to turn.
So that sways your decision.
Unfortunately, Chris, I'm going to have to go with Scott on this
one. No, mate, no, don't do it.
No,
please, Tom. Seriously, rethink that one, please.
It's too late.
Sorry.
I'm playing it. Jessie J on Radio 1.
I'm feeling sexy and free.
Sorry, but those are the rules of bangers. A lot of people did want My Chemical Romance, but it was a massive no from our caller.
Can't believe it. As Luke says, can't believe My Chemical Romance wasn't chosen. Sums up 2016, that.
Right. I wish I knew how more people felt about 2016, because no one's saying it. Andy in Bolton says, that MCR song brought memories flooding back of my teenage years, and you didn't play it, effectively ruining my Christmas. Don't let it ruin your Christmas. It's just a game on the radio.
To be fair, it's not our fault,
no.
Is it? Tom's choice.
John in Kent says, are you going to play bangers when they Christmas songs at all? Yes, that will come on the New Year's Eve show, 1 till 7 p.m.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. 1 till 7, we're doing bangers, and there will be Christmas songs in that. Well, it's all go, isn't it? It's time for the Who Vent calendar. You know, on our show in the afternoon, we like to Who things that are a little bit retro, something from the past, or a person that maybe you've not heard from in time. Say their name or say the subject or the thing and just give it a ho! Instead of chocolates behind our event calendar, there are Who's.
The 21st today, Scott.
21st door on the calendar, leading up to the big door on Christmas Eve. So, Santa, what's behind door 21?
The Who Vent calendar with Scott Mills. Let's have a peek behind door number 21. News beat.
Now, before we go, it's the big debate of the day. But is the dress black and blue or white and gold?
Is the dress black or blue?
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I don't even know how it started now, but a couple of years ago we decided to play Bumbleo by the Gypsy Kings, a little Spanish number, to signify that we are halfway through the week, halfway through the working week. And then what we also do in the kind of breakdown section is we play some best bits of the show. So if you've got any ideas for what you would like in the little gap today, text me on 81199.
I mean, it's quite random, but just go with it.
Yeah.
And then, do you know when it started, it was just something that felt quite right, and then loads of people got on board with it. And then do you remember Liam Payne was on holiday?
Yes.
And was bumbleing on holiday, sent us a picture of him bumbleing, and I think after that it sort of just became a thing.
It became a thing, mate. It went viral. So it's like a celebration that we've made it to midweek. That's what it is. Any gap requests? 81199. Every week now, we get asked for a replay of the £1 Fishman. Do you remember? Come on, ladies, come on, ladies. The follow-up single to that was called Michael Jackson, and it's awesome. But that gets requested every week now. So we'll put that in. When you hear a random man singing about Michael Jackson, that's who it is. It's the £1 Fish guy with the follow-up single that not many people knew about.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Let's celebrate with the last Bumbleo before Christmas, halfway through the week.
Let's have a festive one.
Michael Jackson, we still love you. We will love you, Michael Jackson.
It's the £1 Fish guy.
Michael Jackson, we all love you. We all miss you, Michael Jackson. How can we find you again? Your song's always in my brain. You made wonders, though still wonders will be wonders, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, we still love you. We will love you, Michael Jackson.
Sharon, coming to you next. Name of the act you are sending home.
I love you guys, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to send Bellario home.
Bellario. Not the name of the band.
Okay, everybody, now is the song word from abroad.
Finland. Finland.
Sara.
Too jazzy?
They are a little too jazzy, yes.
Go and open the window, Gary. Go and open the window.
Michael Jackson, we all love you. We all miss you, Michael Jackson.
Bamboleo! Bamboleo!
Yes. Oh, with bells.
Hello, Tom in Edinburgh. He's bum blowing his baubles off. First one through today. Very strong gap today, says Hannah and Elle in the lab in Milton Keynes. Ready for the weekend, ready for Christmas. Sam on his JCB loader in Martham. Dan the trucker, loving Michael Jackson. So, it's so good to hear it always, never gets old. Laura and Mike bumbling their baubles off in Cambridge.
Big shout out to Gemma, the dog groomer in Leicester. Always on. Have a Merry Christmas.
Marcus on the M40 is so ready for Christmas and New Year.
Let's have it. Hello to Tommy Hayden, ringing his festive bell whilst bumbleying.
Connor and Kane, bumbleying in Southampton, best friends reunited for Christmas. Richard is bumbleo and warming camembert at the same time.
Oh. It's the same bumbleo, just with bells on.
You only just noticed that, right?
Makes it very festive, though.
John and Adrian and Nigel, yes, in their diggers with nothing but tinsel on. And again. Needy Christmas, guys. Wrapping presents with my daughter for her first Christmas. That's back in Northampton.
Sergio bumbling down the M3 right now.
Yes. James, Tom and Andrew feeling festive in the office and bumbling away like no one's watching.
Dan and Charlie bumbling their stockings off.
Jess in Manchester, I think Bumbleo Wednesday might be even better in the morning, especially up to Christmas. I agree. Merry Christmas.
Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
We're back tomorrow morning from 6:30 on BBC Radio 1. In for Grimmy. Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.